once I looked up the definition of a word computer in a 1920s dictionary. Computer, it says, one who computes. 1920s. Now today, if you look at the same word, computer, everyone understands quite differently. Here's Wikipedia says, computer is, I quote, a general purpose device that can be programmed to carry out a set of arithmetic or logical operations automatically. Whoever came up with the definition, brilliant definition, but most of us, all of us know what computer is, right? Either laptop or desktop or tablet, it's a computer, isn't it? Now, all I'm saying is this. Its original meaning, the computer, got lost or even changed over time. Now, what about the word Christian? Same thing happened. 2,000 years ago, the disciples of Jesus Christ were called, first time in history, Christians in the city called Antioch. Acts chapter 11, verse 46. Today, however, the same word has lost its original meaning even among the churchgoers. Sadly, in America, it is often associated with a political movement and misused as a political term, far from its meaning. Let me tell you this. Around the election time, it's going to start in 2016 already, although a year before, we already hear the election thing. You will hear, definitely hear, certain phrases such as evangelical Christians, a political group with a negative image. Oh, those evangelical Christians, you know, always try to influence the Republicans and Tea Parties and whatnot. Now, the true meaning of Christian is the disciple of Christ. If you look at Christmas, C-H-R-I-S-T, the first six letters in Christmas is about Christ, isn't it? Same thing, Christian. First six letters of Christian has everything to do with Christ. So the Christian means the follower of Jesus. The one who learns from Jesus, the Master, and lives out his teachings accordingly. And that's what we are going to think about this morning, the meaning of following Jesus. Now, 2,000 years ago in the land of Israel, in Galilee, Jesus invited a fisherman whose name happened to be Simon Peter, the text we read this morning. And he was working with his brother Andrew, both fishermen, and Jesus said, you too, come and follow me. Now, think for a moment of the meaning of following. Today, we tend to use the word follow casually, such as follow me on Twitter, right? But back then, following Jesus never meant casual or no sweat as today. Just finger, you know, just a couple of buttons on the phone. No, it's much more than that. It meant back then serious business and a total commitment. Did you notice what Simon and his brother Andrew did when they were called by Jesus in today's text? They dropped everything and followed him. They left behind their vocation, their family, and even their personal aspirations and dreams. Now, in those days, and still true today, following the Master meant, and it does, means to live together with Jesus, breathe together, and eat and sleep together, and walk and journey together, and be together all the time. Go whenever and wherever Jesus goes, and memorize the teachings of Jesus the Master, and live them out in your life. And experience everything together with Master, from praise to persecution and suffering and death. From the glorious moments on the mountaintop through the transfiguration to the grotesque scene at the foot of the cross. Everything together. Now I can say this one. Following Jesus never means, as some of us believe and practice today, twice a year. Did you know that such a word nowadays, Christers? Christmas and Easter Christians. Christers. Or even 1 hour on Sunday morning. Or even one day a week. They never mean following Jesus. Imagine a married couple spending time together like that. Twice a year, let's meet. Or 1 hour on Sunday morning, let's spend time together, or even 1 day a week. You all know that relationship will go nowhere. No wonder our Christian life has no intimacy with Jesus to begin with, and no power or even joy. How often you think going to church is like an obligation, no joy. Now, if your walk with Jesus rather has been boring or more like obligatory, then think about the amount of time you spend with Him. I'm not just talking physically, but always think of Jesus. Let me repeat. Being Christian means to be with Jesus 24/7 and 365. That's the life of a disciple who follows Jesus. Now, in such seriousness, 2,000 years ago, Jesus called the 12 disciples to follow Him. And they all, except Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus later on, they all followed Jesus for the next 3 years and for the rest of their lives. And in the end, they turned the world upside down. Why? Because they followed Jesus, and there's a power of the gospel. And Jesus' call still continues today. He still looks for those who would follow Him and to be His disciples, Christians. He still invites us to be the kingdom agents for God, following Him with purpose and commitment. You know, I looked up in the Bible to understand what it entails to be His disciple. And I have discovered the following three marks of Christ's disciple. Not limited to, but at least the following three marks of Christ's disciple. Number one, self-denial. Number two, obedience. And number three, service. Let me unpack them one by one. The first sign is self-denial. Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to His disciples, "Whoever wants to be My disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow Me." Now, most of us don't want to hear that one. Just pretend that, ignore that it's not there. But you know what? If you really love yourself, you need to face the truth. What Jesus said about discipleship, He says, "Deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Me." That's what He says. Otherwise, He says, "You cannot be My disciple." Now, to me, follow Jesus means all in. Whether I live or die. All in, live or die. Perhaps I shared this, my experience in the military training, 1980. You know, hundreds of the soldiers, you know, in training. And they took us, all of us, up to the mountaintop and zip lined. That day was the course of zip lining across the river with single pulley. There was no, you know, safety gear, you just wear nothing. They really seemed like not care about our lives. Anyway, each, you know, trainee, the soldier, standing on the rock and ready to, you know, just go all the way down hundreds of yards down there. And at the end, you know, when the other side, it's just flag, is, you know, red flag, is going up, then you have to let go and just, you know, drop yourself down in the river and so on. Now, before you go out, there's a sergeant next to you. Ask, "Are you ready to die?" Whew, sergeant voice, you know. And of course, the only answer you have to say is, "Yes, sir." And then there we go. Christ asks you this morning, are you ready to die for Me? If you are, then you are all in. Not half-half, not, you know, lukewarm. Be either hot or cold, Jesus says. Ready to die and live for Christ and His cause. That's what it means to be a Christian. Now, this command, don't think that is just for a few pastors like Pastor Choi or a few religious fanatics. No. It is for every believer, you and me and everyone who is serious about their faith. Now, this attitude of all in may look foolish to the world, but you know what? It is essential to God's kingdom. It may be a total waste to the world, but let me tell you, it's actually eternal gain to you. The real question is this, all of us ask, is Jesus really worth following and even dying for? The answer is absolutely. And in fact, Christ and His kingdom are worth of everything we have. Now listen to Jesus. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field. When a man found and hid, and from joy over it, He goes and, listen, sells all that he has and buys that field. That field that contains the treasure is the kingdom of God. What do you have? Sell everything and buy that field. That's how much it is worth. And that's exactly what the 12 disciples did with Jesus. They waged their entire lives on Jesus. And here's another one who did that. Paul the Apostle. He spent his life, he says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And here's another person, Jim Elliot, who was a missionary to Auca Indians in 1950s, and he was murdered by the Auca Indians. And he says this, I quote, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Let me read it one more time. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. He's talking about eternal life, folks. Don't you think we should live the same way? Let our lives be Christ only and Christ alone. Now to me, the self-denial also means none of me and all of Christ. When we deny ourselves and we pursue the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of mine. It is all about Christ and none of me. And I encourage you not to be like those who seek their own interest before the Lord's. There's some people's prayer like, Lord, not thy will be done, but mine be done. The opposite of Christ's prayer. Don't believe in the false gospel either that promotes and promises glory and crown without cross or self-denial. Now, if you go to I'm not saying every church like that, just the mega churches and, growing fast churches and so on, you seldom hear the message of cross or self-denial. It's all about feel-good messages. Oh, how can I become rich? How can I become healthy? And that kind of thing. Feel-good messages, but seldom you hear the message of the cross and even self-denial. Even such a denomination too, Now, those who don't want to give up on their self or self-interest, Christ says, are unfit for the Lord. If you read John chapter 6, verse 66, you'll see that Jesus turned away. Can you imagine some pastors in today's 21st century? Go away. Anyone come to church? That's exactly what Christ did. Because they were not interested in the Lord himself. Now that was the first sign. The first sign of a Christian is self-denial, all in. All Christ, none of me. The second sign of Christ follower is obedience. Christ says in John 15:10, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. To remain in Jesus to me means to obey his word. To obey his word means to keep his commands, as simple as it could be. And, in other words, love one another as Christ did. This is what Christ says. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my what? Disciples, if you love one another. That's why I say second sign of Christ follower is keeping his command, obedience. Unconditionally and sacrificially love one another as Christ has loved us. Let me tell you a story of a Korean pastor whose name was Son Yang Won. During the Korean War, he and his family, and he had only one son, lived together in the southern part, and guess what? From the north, communists invaded, and they entered this village where he was pastoring. Somehow, he was able to escape, but not so good with his own son. His son was arrested and put into prison, and later on pulled out in the open field and was executed. Not by the communists from the north, but one of the collaborators who lived in the village. And of course, when things turned around and South pushed them back to the north, all the communists left, they ran away, but this collaborator didn't have so much luck and stayed put. And guess what? He was arrested and things turned around and he was imprisoned and waiting for the sentence, expecting to die. And that's when Pastor Song came in. He went to the authorities, whom, you know, he knew well, and he said, "Please release this young man. I'd like to make him my adopted son." Now, it's mind-boggling, isn't it? How could you, as a human person, adopt the murderer of your son to be your next son? But that's exactly what he did. The authorities were deeply touched. Again, you know, they knew each other, so instead of just, you know, still killing him, they just allowed the pastor's son to adopt this man. And the same man who murdered and adopted later on turned out to be a pastor later on. It's just a fascinating story. But the thing is, we must remember the power to love as Christ did does not lie in us. Christ says this, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, and you will bear much fruit." However, he says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." How true it is. It's a no-brainer. Elementary school kids understand that. You know, the branches can't bake, you know, any fruit at all without, you know, the vine. "Like the branches have no power to bear fruit by themselves without the vine, we have no strength to love sacrificially and, you know, unconditionally without Christ. The power comes from Jesus." And that's why Paul the Apostle says, "I can do all things," where? "In Christ who strengthens me." The second sign of Christ's follower is obedience. Love one another. The third sign of discipleship is service. Christ says in Mark chapter 10:45, "For even the Son of Man did not," referring to himself, "even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." The same Christ calls you and me this morning to be the servant of all. You know, the secular governments and rulers and authorities rule over us, don't they? "Not so with you," Christ says. "Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant." I think it would be a different world if we all practiced servanthood, you know, in our relationship, in our church, and all these things, quite different. Christ served us, the Bible says, with humility, and he expects us to do the same. Listen to Paul. He says, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus," which is humility. My exhortation to you is that let us serve people like Jesus did, to free them from the bondage of sin and death with the love and truth of the gospel. Let me recap what I said so far. Let us recommit this morning ourselves to Christ. All in, not half and half. Let us deny ourselves by carrying our own crosses, Christ alone and none of me. Let us obey his word by loving unconditionally and sacrificially, and let us serve one another with humility. And then, Christ says, the world would know that we are Christians. We are the disciples and followers of Jesus. Let's bow our heads and pray. I think it's a human nature, Lord, that we forget how short our lives on earth. I attended a funeral service yesterday and reminded me one more time how short and how fragile human lives are. Yet, another trouble is that we live like this is the only life we have, quite often forgetting the life eternal. I think Christ, the reason why he was so different from us was he always knew what the eternal life is like, came back and to live here for 33 years with us. And that's why he was so different from us. And he was reminding us that don't live for the life on earth, but rather set your eyes and minds on the things above. That's where we start our first step as the believer in Christ, Lord. I spoke all about this, and Lord, help us to live a life as true follower of you. All of you, none of me. Love one another and serve each other with humility. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.